Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Uwe Platzbecker, MD, about the FDA approval of luspatercept for patients with lower-risk myelodysplastic syndrome with anemia. Dr. Platzbecker is the director of the Clinic and Polyclinic for Hematology, Cell Therapy, and Hemostasiology at the University Hospital Leipzig in Germany. On August 28, 2023, the FDA granted approval to luspatercept for anemia in patients with very low to intermediate risk MDS who have received no prior erythropoiesis-stimulating agents and who may require regular red blood cell transfusions. This approval was backed by findings from the Phase 3 COMMANDS trial, in which luspatercept elicited red blood cell transfusion independence for at least 12 weeks in 59% of patients in the investigational arm. Conversely, the red blood cell transfusion independence rate was 31% in patients who received the ESA apoietin alpha. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Platzbecker discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety data from COMMANDS, and how this approval addresses historically unmet needs for patients with MDS. What would you say are some unmet needs that exist for patients with MDS?
There are a couple of unmet medical needs, but I would say in general, there are two blocks of patients, the so-called higher risk MDS patients, where I think the intention is to delay disease progression and to prevent leukemic evolution, which is not covered by the drugs currently available. And in lower risk MDS, where anemia and red blood cell transfusion dependency is the predominant phenotype, I think it's the prevention of transfusions or to get patients off transfusions if they are already transfusion dependent. And the armamentarium, which is currently available for lower risk MDS patients, basically covers, at least especially in the European Union, erythropoiesis stimulating agents or drugs like EPO, erythropoietin alpha, or luspatercept in a specific subset of patients with ring sideroblastic phenotype who are not eligible or who are relapse refractory to a first-line therapy of EPO or erythropoiesis stimulating agents. So that's basically it, apart from the small subset of DEL5Q patients where Revlimid is the standard of care. So especially in the first line segment, we only have ESA or EPO therapy for the majority of the patients. And we know that the minority of these patients actually respond and especially have a dual response. So more agents, competitors in these segments are needed.
Then what is the mechanism of action of luspatercept and what was the rationale for investigating this agent in patients with lower risk MDS?
Yeah, luspatercept is a ligand trap for TGF-beta cytokines, especially GDF8, GDF11 are trapped by this drug. And by doing so, the blockade of maturation and differentiation is actually released and the terminal erythroid differentiation can take place in the bone marrow of patients with low-risk MDS, where the predominant feature is ineffective erythropoiesis. So what these patients actually experience is an increase of reticulocytes, hemoglobin levels, and red blood cell transfusion independence. And this is actually was the take-home message from the pivotal phase 2 study, where actually patients responded irrespective of the ring sideroblastic status. So patients with and without ring sideroblasts had a erythroid response, but patients with the ring sideroblastic phenotype had a preferential or better response than non-ring sideroblastic patients. And the rationale to actually develop the drug in the lower risk MDS segment was based on the knowledge that there's an altered signaling of the TGF-beta in the bone marrow, but also in the bone marrow microenvironment in the niche. And there was a mouse model actually, which nicely showed that luspatercept improves erythropoiesis. And then these preclinical data were taken into phase two, phase three programs at the end.
What key efficacy findings came out of the COMMANDS trial?
So the COMMANDS study was a consecutive phase three trial based on the approval already of luspatercept in ring sideroblastic patients failing first-line ESA therapy. And in this COMMANDS trial, now a first-line approach was investigated. So a head-to-head comparison of lower-risk MDS patients or in lower-risk MDS patients being red blood cell transfusion dependent and being naive to luspatercept, but especially naive to EPO or ESA therapy. So these are the one where we would try ESA first. And I think the nature and the unique nature of the trial is was that not only patients with ring sideroblastic phenotype, but also patients with non-ring sideroblastic phenotype were included, although two-thirds of the patients roughly had this so-called ring sideroblastic phenotype. So it was a head-to-head comparison to show superiority of luspatercept with regards to the primary endpoint being red blood cell transfusion independence for at least 12 weeks and additional increment of hemoglobin levels by at least 1.5 gram per deciliter. The study included a large number of patients with lower risk MDS and was recently published in The Lancet. So the study results of the COMMANDS trial actually showed a superiority with regards to the primary endpoint, transfusion independence, but also the durability of transfusion independence was significantly longer in favor of luspatercept. Patients with ring sideroblast and non-ring sideroblastic phenotype were included. And what the data showed was that this superiority for the entire population was primarily driven by the ring sideroblastic phenotype patients, whereas in the non-ring sideroblastic phenotype patients, response rates between EPO and luspatercept were rather comparable, although the durability of response with small numbers again appeared to be longer, significantly longer compared to the EPO alpha arm. So what is the clinical implication of at least luspatercept was not inferior to EPO level and may also be associated with a longer durability of response? Luspatercept will become a novel first choice of first-line therapy in lower-risk MDS patients being EPO-naive and being red blood cell transfusion dependent. I think this is a so-called game changer because for the first time, a novel drug showed superiority compared to the first-line standard of care, namely EPO therapy in lower-risk MDS patients.
What is the safety profile of luspatercept in this population?
Yeah, the study results actually from an efficacy standpoint showed superiority of luspatercept versus ESA therapy, but not at the expense of any new safety signals. So there was a signal with regards to fatigue and asthenia, which occurred at a higher proportion of patients in the luspatercept arm. But beyond this rather, I would say, insignificant, because it was not grade 3, grade 4, the majority of the cases, findings, there were no new safety signals. Also, disease progression and other endpoints were not affected or not different by luspatercept. Research is ongoing with luspatercept. So there is a recently started phase 3 trial with luspatercept in the, let's say, comparable patient population. When I say comparable to COMMANDS, with regards to low-risk MDS, including also a ring sideroblastic positive or negative patients, but this time now transfusion-independent patients. So it's about a head-to-head comparison of anemic low-risk MDS patients with luspatercept and EPO-alpha. The acronym of this trial is the ELEMENTS trial, and it's also a global phase 3 study.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, like us at Enclave, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of Enclave On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave On Air.